Uncensored Radio Real Talk Roundtable. Real life, real laughs, real talk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back around the round table. It's been a little minute since we've had a little bit of a sit down and debrief session, but we have the lovely panel, well, pretty regular panel, actually, if you see our live here with us. We've got Katie, we've got Vera, we've got Luke. Hey, gang, how are we today?
Good.
Wonderful.
Good. We're here. We're ready to chat. Suntan. Wow.
Not suntan.
That must be nice.
I don't tan. I burn.
So today's topic came a little bit out of an article that I read and also a little bit of real life experience. So today we're going to talk about the phenomenon known as goblin mode. Now, we have just all lived through a 2+ year pandemic, and the idea of goblin mode is that we have dropped our public facades, deactivated the unnecessary parts of our life, and are happy to exist in our own little home bubbles, not feeling the need to dress up or, you know, make overly ambitious corrections of our appearance in order to live a happy and productive life.
This was a pandemic thing?
It is. It's a pandemic thing. And a lot of the conversation is that people are actually finding it hard to re-engage in the world now after letting everything slip away for so long. They're finding it hard to jump back into the expected social norms. And I thought that was a very interesting conversation to have. Now, between the four of us, we all had a very, very different experience of the pandemic. I mean, to start off with, Luke and Vera, you never stopped working. So
worked the whole time.
you were there the whole time. The first Australian lockdown, I worked the whole time. Katie, you've been in and out of, literally in and out of work. You know, you've had kids, you've had everything. So
yeah.
The panel is a very varied, very varied experience. So the first question I want to ask everyone, and just have a little think about it, because we're all going to have to answer as per usual. We haven't done a round table in a hot minute, so we've got to remember the rules.
Did you see Mom look at me like you have to answer?
So what I want you to think about is, it's global pandemic. What did we lose, do you think, from the pandemic? I'm going to start with Vera because she is wise.
I lost a lot. I haven't done any theater in 2.5 years. I haven't, you know, live music has been gone, missing from my life for a long time. I mean, this weekend was probably the first weekend in 2.5 years that I've had the kind of active weekend that I used to have pre-pandemic. Friday night, I went to a jazz concert. Yesterday, we went to Jeff's, whatever she was, baby shower.
That was real nice.
Last night, I went out to dinner. Today, I went out to hear a live band because of my friend's birthday. And it's been a pretty busy weekend for me, you know, compared to a year ago when we ordered all our dinners in and, you know, we had Zoom birthday parties for friends. We didn't go hear a band and live music, man. I heard two bands this weekend.
She's been a groovy rock chick, living her life.
I love live music, yeah.
She's living the dream. Right.
Katie McCarthy, what about you? What do you think? Okay, what did you personally lose from your life?
Okay, so let's take it way back. So back in 2020, I had just gone back to work. I had just had a baby. I was just starting to get back to my routine, and it felt like things were starting to get back to normal for me, and bam, I was in quarantine. I haven't been to an actual gym since 2019 when I was still pregnant and hurt my back, and the doctor was like, yeah, no, you're done. You're too pregnant to work out anymore. So all my workouts have been at home, and they've been terrible, and it's my my mental health has kind of suffered from that, because that's where I get all my my happiness from is I like to work out. It helps my anxiety. It helps me feel happy. It helps me work out my stress and my anger and anything else. Work has been inconsistent for me because I've been like on maternity leave, and then I go back to work, and then I get out for the quarantine, and then I go back to work, and then you're on an AB schedule, and then I got laid off again, and now I'm back to work again. it's been wild. COVID has been just one big clusterfuck for me, honestly.
Beautifully put. Luke, you're a single parent raising a young child and a nurse during COVID. Talk to us about that.
So I had to work, obviously, through the whole thing, working down staff because and it's still happening right now is that people are, obviously, now that they've opened everything up, that people have got COVID, so we're constantly down staff. But really, I found that COVID made me fat and, well, I couldn't go to the gym and now I don't want to go to the gym. Like, you know, if you haven't been for 2 years and then it's like, do you really want to front up to that? So I kind of found like it made me become very isolated, but I was sadly comfortable to be isolated. So I guess I made it work for me, but now that it's all over or it's becoming over, I need to come back out of the cave. But I'm like, do I want to?
See,
and that's the thing about embracing goblin mode.
I desperately want to go back to the gym, but I still have my unvaccinated 2-year-old, so I'm very choosy about where I'm going, and I still mask up usually when I'm going out in public. We don't really go out to eat much, and if we do, we're masked up. He's good about wearing masks, so that has been that's been great that Arlo will wear a mask. I need to he wears a cloth mask, so that is my concern, is I need to find a better mask for him. Hopefully he will be able to be vaccinated soon, but I really want to get back into the gym. And like,
but
the problem with me is like, I could go back, but wearing a mask and working out doesn't seem very fun. And instead of complaining about it, I just won't go. I'm not going to be one of those people that are like, well, I don't want to wear a mask and go to the gym. I just won't do it. Like, the weather's getting nice, I'll go running, I'll work out outside. The thing about, I just don't get the complaining. Honestly, like, if you don't want to wear a mask, then don't go somewhere where you have to wear a mask. Or if you or you don't have to wear a mask anymore, but like, if you're uncomfortable going somewhere where there's a lot of people and you don't want to be around all those people, then don't go, frankly. Like,
I think you bring up a really good point, because my friends had a baby during COVID. So this kid has never known anything different. And they're saying, now that the world is, you know, discovering it's not even a post-pandemic new world, like how we live with this virus, he is just so unused to like really normal things that like you take for granted. The first time they took him out for dinner, they were like, oh my God, we're so embarrassing. It's like an animal. It's like, well, you haven't had to teach him, like, you know, table manners to go out with. He runs around his house. He does what he wants. You know what I mean?
That Arlo
he's
is
not used to having other people say no to him. He's like, he listens to mum and that's about it. Like,
Arlo is very impatient. Very interesting. He's very impatient, and that's something we're working on. He goes to daycare, so he has some social interaction. But going into his first time in a store, he was like,
what the hell is this?
He was just so amazed. Like, he just bent over, just
looking at the overhead lights.
Like, he was just so amazed. Them. Like, when we had him at the end of 2019, we thought we were having a baby into flu season, which is something we had done before, because my oldest we had also in December, because, you know, I have a record of having babies in December. It's just something
I was going to say, what's going on in March?
I know, right?
Kyle's birthday.
Oh. Rumpy pumpkin.
Yes. It's an ongoing joke that we, conceived on dad's annual birthday. Conceived on dad's birthday, born on mom's birthday. It's an ongoing joke. Anyways, so like, we thought we were just having a kid in flu season and that was like going to be the worst of it. Yeah.
Not so.
It was very interesting. I mean, you think the worst of it is going to be like, okay, kids, get your flu shot, get your, get your whooping cough shot and wash your hands, come see the baby. Stay the fuck out of my house. Do not come see this kid. You cannot meet this kid. Like, don't come over. Like, it was awful. Like, my parents didn't see their grandson for like the first 3 or 4 months of his life. It was awful. Like, it was terrible. And it, missing huge milestones of this baby's life. And like, we were looking through pictures and my dad goes, I don't remember that of his. I don't remember that outfit. I don't remember seeing Arlo do that. It's like, yeah, you didn't see it. It's awful, but you didn't see it.
Well, yeah, my friend's son wasn't even allowed to go see the baby when, like, his little brother was born. So try explaining that to, like, a 3-year-old, 4-year-old.
Yeah, it was a very different time. It was very isolating. It was sad. It was, like, I never dealt with postpartum depression before with Grayson, but I had horrible untreated postpartum anxiety and postpartum depression with this one, and it was just terrible. There was, you're stuck all alone with this new baby and you're not sleeping and you're not eating and you're away from your friends and your family. What are you going to do?
And there's kind of no out either. Like, you can't do something to...
A lot of hangover with residuals with my elderly family. You know, my mom, her sister, my Aunt Leah, they are afraid to go out, They haven't been out in 2 years. They haven't socialized. They haven't gone to church. They haven't gone to lunch. You know, the things that they did all the time, they're not ready to do yet, even though it's winding down, sort of.
Yeah.
It's very responsible for a big change, a big generational change, I think. When I look back at it now, I had a terminally ill parent for that entire time that I didn't see because,
Right.
You can do phone calls, you can do Zoom, you can do all that kind of stuff, but it doesn't really make up for the face-to-face time of, like,
absolutely.
6, 7, 8 months time that, like, was missed because, you don't want to be the person that takes it. As Vera said it on many, many of our live shows, she doesn't want to be the person that takes home something that kills her family.
Right,
and
that was a big
worry for me because, when someone's going through chemotherapy and stuff like that, if I had the slightest tickle, I was like, oh god, I'll stay away. And that, in retrospect,
coming out of that now, this is when it's all going to sort of process for you, because at the time, we were just told to just be in this thing and you're in this machine and you can't do this, you can't do that, rah 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 rah. So now that it's post that all and this stuff sort of resonates with us and we're like,
The thing that's made me think a bit too is the other side of the coin. We had my dad who was sick at the time and passed away. We've had family friend that went into care for dementia and Alzheimer's. Like, talk about like going from a regular life to something that you can't even see your family. And then they start to slip away and lose their faculties and memories and all that kind of stuff. You don't realize until we sit back, we go, oh, how funny, we all had to wear masks and da-da-da-da-da. But there is a huge sense of loss for a lot of people that they can't really comprehend.
There's permanent damage. Yet,
as Luke said. Yeah.
There really is permanent damage.
I don't want to use words like permanent damage. I think that's too negative. I mean, we found alternatives. We found different ways to live. And we did live. We survived. And,
I know it was necessary. I know it was necessary.
We could be in much worse circumstances.
But, people were affected. And, like, look, I wasn't that affected. I was in Queensland, Australia. We actually were very safe. So my life kind of continued as normal. But I really do get it when other people from other places had terrible things happen, when they couldn't even go and see that their dying family member because they were across an invisible border and things like that. So, yeah, I do think there was permanent damage done. That stuff can't be undone.
I kind of
And I understand why it happened. I understand why it happened. Like, I'm not arguing about the logic behind it. It's just, this is real shit, and this is what people had to go through. And
right, you know, Kyle lost both his grandmothers during quarantine. We didn't get to see them really because of you couldn't go see them really in the hospitals. You couldn't go visit them. And then I lost my grandmother in August. She was 99 when she died. No one wanted to go see her in her house because she's so old. Like, no one wants to bring something into
that house.
No one
wants to give her COVID, even though
She's so old. No one wants to bring something in there that'll probably instantly kill her. So, you know, when the weather was decent, we'd stand outside her house and kind of wave the kids at her, like, you know, hey, grandma, like, look at the baby. Look at the baby.
Lots of drive-by babying there was, wasn't there?
But, you know, you feel kind of bitter.
Like a Lion King.
But, you know, I feel kind of like some sort of resentment because Grayson got a lot of time with her. And Arlo got basically nothing with her. Didn't get to know her. Didn't really get to spend any time with her. And
what my friend's son has a lot of, and God love him, he's only turning 6 now, but my dad was like granddad, they called him Poppy. And he's sad that his little brother never got, you know, Poppy never got the chance to teach him how to swim or ride a bike or da 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 da. And that's just bad timing. That's just bad timing, and it's heartbreaking. But like, this is the world that we were living in, and you can't go back in time and woulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda it. But there will be lasting effects for people, and it'd be interesting to see how we all deal with that. But what I want to re up the question again. What were you happy to let go of during pandemic? We're going to start with Luke because we started with Vera.
Well, I couldn't let go of much because I still had to go to work.
Exactly.
I had to go to work under more stress, actually. So, you know, being a floor nurse at the time, which I was, it's already highly stressful. I'm dealing with very difficult people. And then it just got compounded by this pandemic. So, you know, then I had to wear a mask, and then it permanently dented my nose job and all this kind of stuff. Like, it is funny, but it's true shit. Like, it was shit. I had to wear all this fucking PPE while I'm dealing with people, and it was really uncomfortable. I used to come home pouring in sweat because I was covered in all this shit. And it was not nice. And, like, you know, I would challenge you all to try and shower somebody who's, like, 200 kilograms heavy while you're covered in fucking head-to-toe PPE and they can't even lift their foot. And so it's just really heavy work. And so I really feel for all the nurses that were actually on the front line, because I wasn't even on the front line. Our ward wasn't a COVID ward, but we still had COVID patients. So it was a lot.
So nothing is the answer to the question.
Well, I hope I answered it somehow in a roundabout really way.
Not really. I'm gonna jump in. I don't usually like answer in these shows, but I think we found out a lot of social occasions and stuff weren't really necessary. Like, you choose to do there's a lot of things you choose to do or you feel obligated to do. You're like, oh my God, I have to go to this dinner. I have to go and see this person. I have to do this. And when push came to shove and we couldn't, that kind of takes it all off the table. And I found that although it has made my world a little bit smaller and all that kind of stuff, I don't really miss obligations. That could just be me.
No, that was part of my answer was I don't miss saying yes, even though I really wanted to say no. I don't miss that, and I don't miss working when I'm sick. I don't miss that. I love being able to say, hey, I'm really sick. I need to stay away from you, and I need to stay home.
Or not even really sick. I might be sick and have the option of going, hey, I might be sick. I don't want to make you sick. I'm going to stay at home.
Hey, I have COVID symptoms. I need to stay home. It blows my mind that we encouraged everyone to work through that before. And now it's like, you got to stay home now. You got to take a test and you got to stay home. But before we were kind of like, rub some dirt in it and get to work.
In a backwards way, it kind of made us take care of ourselves a little bit more.
Jesus Christ.
You know? V?
There were a lot of obligations that you didn't have to, you know, you didn't have that great big family party that you had to go to because you weren't getting together 60 people, just your immediate family. And that was much more stressless. You know what I mean? There weren't, you know, you didn't have to go to your third cousin's daughter's middle school chorus concert because, you know, COVID. And it was, you know, easier. But I do miss my friends. You know, the social interaction of meeting your friends at a restaurant or meeting your friends in a bar and hearing a band that I just did all weekend.
Those are things
you want to do, yes. But those things that you, oh, you know.
No, I'm like, I should, but I don't want to.
And it kind of, especially here in Australia, because we went through those, well, in New South Wales, we are very blessed, poor Melbourne, the most locked down city in the world. We went through all of these lockdowns, and you know what? The world kept turning.
Yes.
And, you know what? Of course, everyone was hit with financial hardships, but you know what? The government gave us money. The small business copped it a lot. I know a lot of small businesses shut down and lost their livelihoods, but the idea that, you know, you have to be there 24/7 or the world will stop, you can dip out of work for like a week and they're not going to miss you. Like, we are all just cogs in a machine, really, to an end. God, and
if COVID has taught me anything, is just that. Don't be super loyal to a job because they ain't loyal to you.
Everyone's replaceable.
Yep.
Yeah. Nobody and ever went to their deathbed saying, I wish I spent more time at work.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And then going through it on the other side as well, the first Australian lockdown, I didn't have lockdown. I was at work all day, every day, just kind of because we were deemed an essential service. I'm like, radio. I don't see how, but, you know, retail, working our way and just watching people slowly lose their mind was very interesting because you saw the, oh, this isn't real. Then you saw the, holy fuck, this is actually a thing. And then the fallout from that. Like, I remember early on in the pandemic, there was an old guy who came in with a, do you know those when you mow the lawn, how you've got the masks, like the double breather mask? Yep. One of those.
One of those, eye
goggles on.
Mm-hmm.
A shower cap.
You know what, though? He probably never caught COVID.
A shower cap.
Right.
Gardening gloves and overalls. And
I saw someone.
Like, is it nuclear winter outside?
PPE.
You did. I was impressed. I was like, this is weird.
I saw someone real early on in a hazmat suit.
Bless. Good on them. I want that.
That's gone for it.
I wonder if that person ever caught COVID. I'm really curious.
True. But yeah,
this is totally unrelated to this topic, but when we got our PPE from the county.
Mm hmm.
We got 12 gowns
for a
2-year pandemic. 12 gowns. 12 paper disposable gowns was the PPE that we got.
Well, they didn't really know that, you know, like 2 years later, hi, we're still going
to talk about splurging.
I remember when everything first shut down, it was right before spring break, and they're like, we're just going to shut down early. you know, right before spring, you know, the 2 weeks before spring break, we're going to shut down. After spring break, we'll come right back. So it's getting to the end of spring break. We're going to, you know, keep this closed just a couple more weeks. Yeah, okay. Okay, yep, we're going to, you know, keep this going until May. Okay. Yeah, we're not coming back. You think?
You know who I really, really feel bad for? My nephew. He's in college. He's 2.5 years of his 4-year college experience was spent at home, not on campus, taking Zoom classes. It's like, you know, I think college is part of your maturation. Mm-hmm. You learn to be an independent adult, and he didn't get
any
of that.
School, but even school in general, there's all these kids, especially, like, think about the kids that just started kindergarten. They just started that, you know, wider socialization process that they were ripped out of it.
Grayson finished his.
Well, there was like a news story here where all these kids that have suddenly been thrown into school again are not coping with the whole thing. Like, you know, even like, you know, people that were in grade 1 and now they're suddenly in grade 3, but they haven't really socialized.
Right.
It's been quite like, you know, a big jarring effect for them to just be thrown back in again.
Because when you're at home, you create your own rule. Like, there was no set schedule. You had to do school, but you did school when it happened, or you didn't do it, you know? Sorry, Katie.
No, it's okay. He finished out pre-K on Zoom, which I thought was kind of interesting. Like, how are you going to get preschoolers, essentially, to, like, sit still to do Zoom stuff? But they did it. He did it, and he got to go to kindergarten whole year. It was real interesting, but he did it, and did a whole year of first grade, which is real interesting too. But
if there is one thing that the pandemic has taught me, I wish I would have bought stock in Zoom in early 2019.
Right?
And B, right. I never want to hear the words. I never want to hear the words Zoom ever, ever, ever. As someone who tried to engage, like.
Oh, stop it, Steve. Remember we watched Helen Badu.
8 to 12 year olds in a dance class online and teaching singing lessons online.
Nah,
it was a fucking nightmare. Like, you spent half the time going, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Can you see me? Can you hear me? I can't hear you. Can you see me? Make sure you're on camera. Otherwise, well, like by the end, I'm like, if I can't see you on camera, I am marking you absent. Then I'll talk to your parents. So, like, okay, cool. And it was so hard to try and enforce some sense of authority / schedule to them and expectation when I don't see them. Do you know what I mean? They're used to seeing me once a week. They know the deal. They know what they should know and what they don't know. And especially when we first came back, even the older kids, like my teenagers / 20-year-olds, they're like, I can't remember what this is. And I'm like, all right, we're gonna have to go slowly to go, oh, we're actually allowed to be in the same room together, because I had to wear masks for the longest time. We had the big dots on the floor where everyone had to stand and all that kind of thing. And that it was a very interesting moment when all of that kind of started to break down and you can go back into the world. But I had one of those moments myself a couple of weeks ago where I actually went to my first live concert in, 2 years. And I sat in the theatre and it was
a masked...
No, this was an Australian artist, Jessica Mowboy. I sat in the theatre, which was packed. I'm like, okay, this is a lot of people. I don't usually get, you know, people anxiety, but I was like, this is a lot of people. And it said, masks are strongly encouraged. I was like, okay, cool. I had one just in case, and I sat there and I gauged the situation and I looked around. There was probably less than a quarter of people in that theatre with masks. And I went, you know what? I think this is the time where you either have done the right thing and you roll with the punches.
But you've already had COVID at this point, right?
At this point, I had been double vaccinated. I had COVID. And I've, like, you know, I've had a third vaccination.
So I think the general consensus is right now, like, 12 weeks post-COVID, you can't catch it again. That's the current milestone.
Yeah, but things have changed so much. But I was sitting back and going, you know what? I've done the right thing. So whatever happens now is going to happen regardless if I'm wearing a mask or if I'm, you know, not wearing a mask, if I'm licking the seat that someone's sitting on. Like,
can I say quickly,
if you're looking at the seat, you deserve to get sick.
How many of us, look, I've never had COVID. I still haven't got it, bizarrely.
I don't know if I've had COVID because I could have had it.
Oh, girl, you would know.
Well, no. I could have been asymptomatic.
You could,
as far as I know, I have not had it yet.
If you were not asymptomatic and you had it.
Right. As far as I know.
I was like, COVID, whatever.
How about you, Vera?
As far as I know, I have not had it.
When
it first started, I had a headache that I thought might be COVID, but I've never tested positive. I've had like 6 tests, you know?
Yeah.
I have no
antibodies besides the vaccine.
There have been a couple times where I was so sick that I was convinced that I had it, and I tested negative both times. I've got my vaccine. I've been boosted. I had all the symptoms, and I was just like, this is it. It got me. Motherfucker finally got me.
But you know what else I haven't had? I haven't had a cold or the flu in 2 years.
Because
everyone's been so precautious.
We mask up in stores and all that. Grayson still wears a mask in school. I'm still getting colds and all that. I don't understand it.
I haven't got a cold or a flu in 2 years.
You just maybe need to boost your vitamin C level or something, Katie.
We take vitamins.
You need some echinacea. Vitamins are bullshit, right? Suck on an orange, babe. You'll be
okay,
right.
Okay, well, you know what? I take vitamins. I eat better now because I've changed my diet because I'm trying to eat healthier. And somehow I'm still getting sick.
I'm very prone to colds and flus, as Vera just said. But touch wood. I have the only thing I got was COVID, and I knew
about it. The only thing I got was COVID.
But did I know about it? I was like, okay. I went to work. We were shutting down the store, so I was up and down ladders and on my knees and on my feet, lifting things and doing all this stuff. And usually after that day, because I've done this a couple times, your body is sore. I was like, okay. I got home and I sat down on the lounge. I was like, okay, I'm sore. Okay, I'm tired. Then literally in the blink of an eye, snap, into a sweat. And I'm like, oh, this isn't right. Oh, well, I'll go have a shower and go to bed. Like, okay, go to shower. Woke up, went, oh, my God, I feel like I've been hit by a fucking truck. Right there. Okay, cool. Went to work because I'm like, you know, gotta go, gotta do it, gotta get the store closed in 4 days, gotta do it. And I got there, I'm like, something's not right. So I'm like, I said to my boss, who was also there, I said, I'm literally gonna stay a good 5 meters away from you just in case. I had a mask, everything on, because I had a little, you know, morning pick me up. Everything was fine for about half an hour. And I realized something was wrong when I lifted my arm to get something off the shelf and I've verbally said, ouch. It hurt so much. I'm like, all right, I'm gonna get a test. And I did the old spinny test. And I was like, do all this, and then
everything in New York is the nasal swab.
Yeah, those are
this is a while ago. did the spinny test, and they're like, oh, just wait 15 minutes and the lines will appear. I put my drops on, one bright line, like literally straight away. I'm like, oh no. It's like, wait 15 minutes. Wait, I'm just going to lay down.
I'm just going to lay down.
And then I laid down.
And she said, I didn't even have to wait 5 minutes. Line was there.
The same thing. She goes, yeah, it just showed up. It was there.
What's it, Remy and Michelle? I need to be away.
I got very lucky. I was only sick for 3 days. Once the fevers broke, I was like, oh, thank God, it was okay. But they're talking about this in the news now, the long-term effects of it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really bad, and my trainers were all this. I have not been back to boot camp since. Like, I couldn't physically get it happening for a good probably 2 or 3 weeks afterwards. And then I was back teaching, back working. I'm like, I don't have the fucking energy to then go and do it again. Yeah, ironically, I was doing more physical activity when we were in lockdown because I had nothing to do. So I could go for a walk for an hour and just wander around and, you know, do all that kind of stuff and eat better. And I had the time. I wasn't time poor during COVID. Mm-hmm. I had time to exercise and look after myself. Now that we're back to normal, I can barely find time to scratch my left butt cheek sometimes.
Look, I'm not going to mention names, but there's someone I know who was very personal appearance conscious, you know, would exercise every day and always was very well groomed. After she had COVID, she looks like a swamp hag. She can't. No, she has not managed to get herself together since. And I'm just like, oh, shit. Only because it's jarring because she was someone who was so immaculately groomed and looked
this
well.
Is the thing. Well, who is she doing it for? Who's she doing it for?
Well, no, but there's
herself.
This permanent, there's some people that are getting these long-term symptoms.
I think older people especially get long COVID.
Yeah. They're unable to resume the level of activity they maintained before because they're just permanently exhausted.
And some people just realize that they don't give a fuck anymore, too. Like,
there's that.
I'm going to, I get physical health. It's very important to look after your health, all that kind of stuff. But if you're not doing it for yourself and you feel obligated to do it, then why do it? You know, you'll find a way to look after yourself that works for you. But if you're going just for appearance's sake, I don't know how the gym junkies did it without the gym for so long. Like,
oh, they managed.
But I would like to know how many of them went. Do you know what I mean?
Well, Nikki was saying when we did the wrestling show, Nikki was saying, she was the female wrestler that did the show with us. She said, look, they all put on weight and whatever because they couldn't even train when they were doing their job. Like, they couldn't do even the. Because every, you know, wrestling show is a stunt show. They weren't able to do that. And so she said that everyone put on weight and that it was a really dark time for them because when they finally were able to go back to doing what they love to do, it was really hard to do it.
Katie? I was going to say, oh, Jesus, I didn't even need to get COVID to be exhausted all the time. My God.
You had two kids, though.
I didn't even need the kids to be exhausted all the time. I just need a thyroid problem.
But yeah, so this leads me to my next segue, I guess you would call it. We're in not necessarily a post-pandemic world, but this is how we live with it now. Like, this is our new normal, for want of a better term, that's been thrown around for however long. What is something that you're taking with you from COVID that you're putting into your everyday lives now that you possibly didn't do before?
Curbside pickup with groceries.
There you go, Katie McCarthy.
I hope that never goes away because Vera can attest to this. When you go into the local grocery store, you're going to run into everyone and their mom and their cousin, and that'll just make your grocery experience that much longer with curbside. It just doesn't have to be that.
Yep.
Just a friendly wave from the car.
Well, this is why I also loved masks, because you throw on your mask, you throw on your earbuds, no one recognizes you, you got your earbuds in, you can just ignore everyone and just be on your merry way.
But Katie doesn't like people.
But it's all right for the Americans. You guys have such extreme weather, too, that, like, you can go into a store with, a beanie or a hat on and a scarf on and a mask on.
Oh, man.
It would be very hard to tell who people are. Australia, we're just like, hey, g'day, how you going?
It was so good. I had my mask on and my hood on. No one knew it was me. It was so awesome.
All right, Luke, what about you? What's something from pandemic lockdown-ish times that you're keeping that you...
Look, I was someone who never, ever ordered Uber Eats. Never. I thought, you know, if I can't cook it or I can't drive down and buy it myself. But now Uber Eats has became a pandemic all in itself because I'm just like, oh, shit, I feel like ribs tonight and someone's going to go and drop it off at my doorstep. So, boop, 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 boop.
in a
is
relationship.
Is it good for me? No.
But you are helping the economy and you're putting people in jobs.
Yes.
Absolutely.
So, dress it up that way. Dress it up that way.
I never did the Uber Eats.
You're missing
out. You're a good girl.
You're missing out.
What about you, V? What is something that
tell us how naughty you've been, Vera?
What are you keeping from COVID?
What's your COVID fetish?
Decided to go. I've done a lot of online ordering of other things, but
like what
restaurants? I'm gonna go pick it up. I'm gonna go pick it up because the 30% that Uber Eats takes from the restaurateurs. I like to support local, so I'll go
you're a good girl. You're a good girl.
But I think, and again, for me, I don't usually, as I said, I don't usually jump in, but I'm gonna, and my friends are gonna be not surprised.
Uh-oh.
I'm gonna keep saying no.
Yes, you know what I mean? Yes, yes, like, no.
Did the world fall apart that I didn't go to so and so's whatever? No, it didn't.
No.
You know, like, did the world fall apart because I didn't see someone that I don't necessarily like that much? No, it didn't. So, as I said, it makes your world smaller, but, you know, I don't feel like I'm being pulled pill at a post as much anymore. And even with work, I've probably stepped back a lot at my jobs and gone, I can't care more than the company does at points.
Right.
You know, like, what the, it will obviously go on with or without me, so you know, why throw yourself into that much drama?
Right,
actually live a life, spend time doing something positive that will, you know, that help your mental health, help others. And it's no big irony that this show came back during pandemic and has brought all of us into each other's worlds on a very
regular basis.
None of
us would have
basis.
Known each other had it
exactly.
not been for this show.
And
what
we'd...
would I do without 3 a.m. text messages from Steve and Luke?
Hey, goes both ways.
Oh, by the way, Katie, I've got more toys coming to your house as well. I've ordered more.
Let's clarify. Let's
but I'll pick them up when we're over there.
No, you can't be on silent.
Do not disturb.
No, you can't. What if you miss out? No.
I know it goes both ways. Sorry, Steve.
No, see,
but it's made this family too, because how much stuff has gone on between us? You know, even we've had our little dramas and stuff, mm-hmm. you know, and we all kind of really care about each other. I think about you guys all the time.
Oh,
in my everyday life.
I've said to my friend, I talk to you guys more than I talk to some of my family members.
Yeah.
So it's just like, and my friend, definitely my friends, like, but
I turned down plans. Someone said, "Oh, we're gonna come up and visit in October." Oh, I've got Australians coming. Sorry,
I've got Australians.
Sorry,
but I think we can't discount what we've done for other people as well. Because I know that we are only small fry in the world of podcast land, but the amount of people that have said, "Oh, during COVID, I really got into your show," or like, I deal with depression and I watch you guys to like give me a laugh, or, you know, I get people that get really into some of the topics that we talk about, and they have met friends through our Facebook page and through interacting with the show is actually really strange. Like,
speaking
our small
people,
tiny little thing has kind of
and all the amazing Ace? People we've spoken to as well.
Yeah.
But,
has anybody heard from Ace?
No, not recently.
From who?
No.
Ace, one of our big
friends. I did see him online a couple of weeks ago. So,
okay.
But you know, people dip in
comment,
and out of
Ace.
Our world.
Comment,
people
so we know
dip
you're
in and out
good.
Of our world. But we know you.
Yeah,
we know
really.
You, yeah, like we share the love. You see people on the live show, and you go, "Oh, I haven't seen you for months and months." But I think it's good to have these like safe spaces for us, like even for my mental health, especially during that time.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
having
yeah,
this,
definitely.
Having this to focus
having
on
this.
When there was nothing else, I was like, "All right, cool." And it, yeah, I think we've gotten better at our game since COVID, all that kind of stuff. So, you know,
yeah,
the world keeps on turning. Things put themselves in your play, in like put themselves in your way for a reason, and you'll find a way around things. I guess we've found a way around this thing that seems so enormous and so scary, and that was. Mainly down to the media. There was so much fear and so much, you know.
Yeah.
And rightly so for, like, America. Like, the death toll is horrendous, and we do send our sympathies and love to anyone who has lost someone during COVID. I cannot imagine what it would be like to, A, lose someone that way, then B, have to deal with the repercussions of, you know, having to bury someone at this time and right. all that kind of stuff. Yeah, we do send our love. And if you are struggling in this new reality, there's always someone to talk to. As we said, Lifeline here in Australia is a great place to start. There's plenty of different charities and stuff. Or, you know what? Go old school and go see a friend.
Yeah.
Re-embrace the past and have a chat. Or, you know, chat to us, watch Uncensored Radio, do something that's going to make your heart a little bit happier, I guess. Because you can reclaim those things that you feel are lost as well. It's the main thing that I think I want to get from this show. The world has changed, but it's only going to change as much as we let it change, you know? There are certain things, you know, are taboo, and, like, we're not going to go around licking each other's faces straight away.
Or seats,
you know.
It depends on what we're smoking, honestly.
True. But don't be afraid. The thing is, don't be afraid to hug someone. Don't be afraid to call someone. Don't be afraid to do these things that make us human, because it's very important that after being so disengaged that we can re-engage with the people that you want to re-engage with,
yep.
the things that you want to do and that make you happy. So, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls and everything and everyone, thanks for joining us today. It's been an interesting little chat. You've been with through the journey. If you've watched Uncensored Radio, you've been through the journey with us. We've talked a lot about COVID, but I think the COVID hangover is a real thing, and we just need to, you know, we need to keep having this conversation every now and then, you know, just like check in on it and go, oh, how's my brain? Is it okay today?
I'd say grown up with us, but have we really grown up?
Nah, no. We grow out. Yeah, we don't grow up.
Actually, no, Katie, I was watching an old clip of us. We've gotten a lot better.
No. We've gotten better, but have we matured?
Not matured.
No.
I have somewhere that I don't have to.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks for joining us, folks. We'll see you again real soon at the round table. Bye.